Well, let's take our Bible today, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews this morning. I'd like for us to, we're going to look at a couple of verses of scripture there, and a topical message today as we go into a new year. I want us to look at the life of Abraham for just a moment. Think about Father Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. And, of course, the Word of God and what it says about this man and what God's Word has for you and for me as we go forward into a new year thinking about the things of God. I titled the message today, What Are You Looking For? I thought about the world in which you and I live. People are looking for something. People are always looking for something. And a lot of times you find what you're looking for, and you find that whatever that thing was may not be what you wanted it to be. So we're looking for something. All of man is. In other words, the human nature from the fall forward, there's a void in man. God created Adam for fellowship. He created him in his image. And of course, Adam sinned in disobedience. He fell. And that void is there in all of mankind that needs to be filled. And there's no joy or peace that will ever endure unless that void is filled by God. And now we're looking into the text in Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, in verse number 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As we think about Abraham, this man called out in a time, in a very pagan world, Ur of Chaldees is where he lived prior to the call of God. And God saw something in this man, Abraham. Abram at the time, back in Genesis, he changed his name to Abraham. God called him out, and he responded. We might could say he responded to the word of God, the voice of God. He responded to that. And in doing so, of course, God promised him a land, and he obeyed the voice of God, the word of God, and he went out not knowing. Now, that's faith. Faith is believing in something that you can't see. We're criticized as Christians for living by faith. Someone says, you don't know where you're going, but we do. Well, how can you say that you know where you're going? Well, we are going by faith, believing in truth. And that's the big question today. What is truth? Is truth something that can be learned in the education system, science, math? Where does truth come from? Philosophy, we talk about today the philosophical thinkers and all of their mind and the use of it in what they believe is to be truth, but that truth is ever-changing. And by the way, that's what they say today. Truth is relevant to what you believe. If it's true for you, then it's true. If it's not true for me, it's not true. No, truth is something that never changes. And that's what we find in the Word of God. The word Logos, of course, Jesus is the Word. He's the Word made manifest in the flesh of man. He was born, we just celebrated Christmas. Christ, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among men. The things spoken of now are seen in Jesus Christ. And thinking with me, this is what Abraham's looking for. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know exactly where he was going, but he hailed God at his word. He took his word as truth, the Logos. He took it as truth, and he walked in that path, looking, believing. And verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Our man Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac, the promised son, was born. You know the story of Abraham. Abraham had a son with the Egyptian handmaid Hagar, Ishmael, but he was not the promised son. Isaac was, and that was a lack of faith in what he did. And now God fulfilled the promise he'd made to Abraham of the promised son, Isaac. Abraham lived to be 175 years old. So Isaac's born when he's 100. He's living with Isaac for 75 years, the promised son. They're living in tents. Can you imagine being with the father for 75 years, your father? And how many times could you imagine them to tell the same stories over and over and over? I'm careful. I see some grins. I start to tell a story and I realize you've already heard this. But it's a good one. So it does me good to tell it again. And can you imagine, that's what Abraham, he's saying, Isaac's 70 years old, in 5 more years his father's going to die. And he says, by the way, this guy's 70, he said, how was that again? You were living in Ur of Chaldees, that's way off to the north and to the right, and you heard the voice of God. Well, he didn't question that, and I'm kind of adding to this, because Abraham chooses a bride for Isaac. He's 40 years old. That's 35 years before Abraham's leaving. And Abraham's able to talk to Rebekah, which is the wife of Isaac. They're living in tents. They're not living very far apart. They're probably having their meals together, and they're talking about these things, and you pass faith down. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He heard the word of God, and he's passing the word of God to his son. And not only that, but to his grandson, as we see Jacob. There's Isaac and Jacob. So you see how that this word has been passed down. Someone may say that was oral tradition. This Bible is not made up of tradition. It's the word of God. And it never has, and it never will change. So having said that, he's looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He's looking for that city whose foundations, he says. And I wanted to share a couple of thoughts with you. That word foundation in the Greek, thing elos, means something put down. He's looking for something, and by the way, it's put down horizontally. It's not set up, put down. You know, I put this is falling over and I put it down. No, that's not the way it works. It's horizontally set down. It's a sure foundation. And by the way, that word that I've just mentioned, you won't remember, but themelos, is derived from another Greek word, tithemi, and I used that the other week talking about adoption. That's the word for adoption. So where you and I have been adopted by God, that's what the scripture says, we've been adopted by God, you and I have been set down on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You think about it. There's a lot to it. He's looking for that foundation that God told him of. What are we looking for? Has anything changed in this day? It's January the 4th, 2026. Regarding eternality and eternal thought, has anything changed with you that you're looking for this different? In other words, what is ahead for us in 2026? No one knows but God. But what's beyond that? Folks, we ought to be looking for that day when we enter that city in which He was looking for. Because when we get that settled in our mind and in our heart, when we get that big question settled, and that's the trouble with the education system today, they can pass someone along with degrees in whatever, but they don't know where they're going. That doesn't come out of the textbook that man has written. That comes out of the Word of God that He's preserved. We can look into God's Word. We can see who we are. We can see who He is. We can believe in Him. We can believe in the work of His Son. We can see why His Son came. We can see why His Son died. We can see where He's at today. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, and He is interceding for fallen man. There's one intercessor between men and God, and that mediator, there's one mediator, that's Jesus Christ. And He is there as the Word of God from the beginning. Never has been a time when He was not. He was a creator with God. Now He came into the world. We celebrated Christmas. He walked this earth where you and I are, and over in the Middle East. He walked there for maybe 33 years, somewhere in that neighborhood. He ministered for a little better than 3 years, and then He died on a cross, and He ascended back to heaven as the eternal Son of God. We have His Word on it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. What place is that? That's the place Abraham was looking for. He's looking for that city. There's a new Jerusalem, we're told, where? In the Word of God. See, everything that you and I have or can have is known in God's Word. So that's why it's so important as we think about what it was that Abraham looked for. What are we looking for? We get that settled in our mind that we have found what we're looking for in God's Word and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Then we have peace. There's no peace without Christ. There's no joy. I'm talking about real joy. There's no joy without Jesus Christ. When you get these things settled, it doesn't mean everything's going to go perfect on this side of heaven. But in the imperfections that we face, and we don't know what we may face this year, none of us do. It's great to rejoice with those who've had tests and things are looking up. But none of us know what we may face this coming year. We can't sit down and say, I know for certain. We do not. He does. And He's able to help us through these times. How do we know that? Because He says so in His Word. So what we need to do is we need to settle our wherewithal, our life, and line up with the things of God. For apart from that, there's no truth in this world. You say, well, there are certain things that add up and they haven't changed, but we're talking about spiritual truth, things in the realm of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter number, let me get there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says this, the Word of God says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, the natural man reads the Bible, he doesn't understand it. It's black letters on white paper. Oh, you make it understand some of the story that this man named Abram was called and he began to move. But the question is, why did he do that? Who is God? Has he been seen? But once you take God at His Word, you take that there is a God, for the heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and you take Him at His Word, and you realize that there's reverence to be given to Him, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. You can't have knowledge and wisdom apart from God. You can know something, but until you revere God and you fear Him and you see there is a God, I'm responsible to Him, there's no learning that can come about. And when God spoke to Abraham and he saw that and he depended on God's word, he took him at his word, there was reverence and fear to God. And this is what the writer said Paul did back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The natural man, he can't understand the things of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. He says also, Paul does further in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, why won't people understand and take in the word of God today? Because they're lost. That's the natural man. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds. See, that's what Satan is doing and has done. He has blinded the mind of mankind so that they won't receive the gospel. But the word of God is the light, and it can penetrate that darkness. It's not that they can't be saved, but they have to accept the light. They have to accept the things of God by faith, as Abraham did. God said, I want you to pack up. I want you to move. And he said, okay, I'll pack up. But where are we going? You know, that's where most of us are, isn't it? Or most people, rather. We want to know, if I do this, what's going to be the outcome? That's not faith. He said, pack your bags and start moving. He said, I'll tell you as you go. We don't want to do that. I want to know what God's will is for my life. I mean, it's not just the young people. We want to know what God's will is for our life, but we want Him to spell it out, and then we'll sign it. He said, no. He said, what I want you to do is, I want you to sign it, and then I'll fill it in. Think about it. That's how God operates. We say, fill it out, Lord. Show us, let us know, and then we'll think about it and sign it. He said, no. He said, you sign it first, and then I'll add the details. So that, having said that, we say, well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I'm saved. I'm a believer. I thought His will was for me to be this type of person. I mean, I went to school to be educated. I've got a degree for this. And now I'm miserable. Did it mean that you made a mistake? Not necessarily. It's not that God's overarching will hasn't changed. But at that time, that may not have been God's will for your life. See, at times God allows us to go through trials and tribulations just as He did with Job. So when we come through those things on the other side of it, we're better equipped to go into the other place that He wants us to serve. Does this make sense? Yes. Abraham began to move. He began to follow the Lord. He took His word as truth. And having said that, by taking God's word in faith and doing nothing with it, it's sin. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. We know that God has something for us to do, but we're not willing to step out in faith. We must hear and we must heed to the work of God and the word of God and His will. I'm going to turn now back into the book of Psalms. I said this was a topical message, and therefore there are truths throughout the Bible that we'll build on in looking at these things. In Psalm 111, and verse number 10, it goes back to what I was sharing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the psalmist said. This is where Solomon said it as well. He's not building on it. but he said it as well. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. This more than hearing is responding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. Wisdom is an unchanging truth. God's word is unchanging. God's word is able to change the heart, the direction, the destiny, if you would, of a person in their life forever. The fear of the Lord, this is a reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding, he says, have all they that do his commandments. What we find is, it's more to salvation than hearing. Not that that's not alone. This is not taken away from faith. What I'm saying is, faith without works is dead, the scripture says. So we hear the word of God. That's what Abram did at the time. And then he began to move. Illustration. Please forgive me. I'll try to speak up. Get to a place where everybody can see me. Here's Abraham. God speaks to him. And what does he do? He sits down. Same way with believers. Do you believe in God? Absolutely. 110%. Did he speak to you? Through his word? Yes, he did. Praise the Lord. What did he say? Sit and soak? He said, get up and go. We've got to get up and go. We have got to put feet on our prayers, so to speak. We believe in things, then we need to start exercising faith, right? Had he stayed, he could have stayed in Ur of Chaldees. I don't know that Isaac would have ever been born, but he could have stayed there. One thing, he wouldn't have messed up with Hagar. But anyway, he could have stayed there till it was all over. And he could have said, I believe God. But what good would it have done for you and I? We've got someone to look at now as a type of the work of God. This man left everything in search of following God. He did not know where he was going. He did not know where he would live, nor where he died. And he said, good understanding have all they that do his commandments. You've got to do the will of God. Brings me to James chapter 3 and verse number 13, where it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. You say there's one who has knowledge. Demonstrate it. Prove it. Show it. Let us see it. This is where we are today as we again think about the education system. We'd waste our time to try to fix the education system. But what we can do is we can go to the truth found in the Word of God, and we can learn and build from there. Why is the world in the condition it's in today, many would say? Well, they've set aside the Word of God. The Word of God is not being taught in the educational system. Don't misunderstand me. We're not praying in the system as they once did. And please don't misunderstand me. People get all sort of sometimes wound up about, let's get in prayer in school. Well, let's get prayer at home. How about that? Are you praying at home? Don't get wound up on the prayer at school if you're not praying at home. What about the Bible in school? Are you reading your Bible at home? I'm just throwing out thoughts. What about it? So you see what he's saying? If we believe it, then we ought to do it. We need to go forward. Another scripture I'll use today is found in Psalm 119. And looking down at verse number 98. Psalm 119, verse 98 says, thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. That's a good one to write down and think about, isn't it? Do we have enemies? Oh, yes, we have enemies. As a nation, we have quite a few. What about individually? We have an enemy that's against us, and that being Satan. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now, we know that because of God's word, and this is what the psalmist says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. We're going to have opposition on this side of that city we're looking for, folks. Did Abraham have opposition? Yes, he did. Are you and I going to have opposition? Yes, we will. As we go into a new year, there's going to be opposition. But don't be afraid of that, because we have the Word of God which can guide and direct our life. And we have God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's able to help us to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. Not just what we're asking or thinking, but exceedingly abundant. I mean, he's just beyond abundant in all that we ask or think. He's able to do in and through us his will. So, how do we get this knowledge? He says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser. It's through the word of God. By the way, this Psalm 119. Almost every verse out of this Psalm, 150 verses, almost every verse, or 176 rather, verses in this Psalm, almost every verse has something to do with the word of God. Whether it be the commandment, whether it be the law, whatever is being used. We find that, and then he says in verse number 98, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Think about that statement. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Can a child, I'm talking about a growing young boy or girl, able to comprehend the things that they read out of the Word of God? That's why, again, it's important to have children hearing the Word of God. Can they, through the Word of God, by way of the Holy Spirit of God, can they have more knowledge and wisdom than their teachers in the public realm, in the secular realm? Sure they can. You know, a child, you tell a child, Jesus is God's Son, he died for your sins, and they don't sit here and question everything that's being said. They take that by faith. Now, that challenge, you're talking about enemies, you're growing up, they're not under your care, they're out in the world, they're hearing things. Satan is testing them just as he tested the Lord. Tests come, but they now, that's why we want them to have a foundation. They can tell you, oftentimes, a child can tell you, or will an adult who may be with an education, that the things of God, and that person not even understand what the child's speaking of. And the child has more knowledge and wisdom than the adult, than the teacher. That's what the psalmist said. I have more understanding than all my teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditation. In other words, he's thinking about these things all the time. Verse 100 says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Than the ancients. Because he listens? No, because he does. He's keeping the precepts, in other words, the word of God. God's word says that we're to do this, and he does it. God's word says that we should not do this, he doesn't do it. He has more knowledge, he has more, if you would, understanding, he says, than his teachers. Why? Because he's doing the things of God. Folks, it's important as we look into a new year, as we're looking for what? What are we looking for? Are we looking for the truth? Are we looking to see what God is going to do this year? What can he do through us? I was thinking about Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." He's talking about the Word of God. "That thou mayest observe to do," to do according to all that is written therein. "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." You want to talk about prosperity preaching? You know what that is, don't you? That's where these guys get on TV and they twist the scripture and they tell everyone God wants you to be rich. And they say financially, "But send me plenty of money while you get it." And then they go from there, "God wants you to have a new this. God wants you to have a new that." That's not in God's Word. But God said if we'll meditate in His Word day and night, and if we'll do according and observe those things that are written, then we'll prosper. We'll prosper, and that means to think about these things, observe to do them, and then shalt thou have good success. Good success in what? Good success in that journey that we're all headed down the road to. We're headed to a city whose builder and maker is God. Folks, we may get there this year. You know that? Jesus Christ is coming, and He could come today. Would we be ready? I hope so. And I don't mean that with a doubt in it. I'm looking for the steadfast hope of the Lord, the return of the Lord. We ought to be looking. We ought to be active in doing. We ought to be doing the will of God. We're going to close today by having communion. As we begin a new year, we're going to have communion as we're reminded of what Christ did for us in the bread and the cup, symbolically speaking of His body and His blood that was shed for our sins. And reading from 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we find these words recorded for us by the Apostle Paul. And this is something that we're to do, he says. He says in verse 23 of this 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you." That's kind of what the penmen of the Bible have done for us. This book that we call the Word of God is God-breathed, but He used the human hands to print His Word, and it has been passed on to you and to me for our good. "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you.'" He says, do this in remembrance of me. "After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" He wants us to do what we've been told. And we're to do it in a way that it comes back into our mind to remember who Christ was, what He did. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," He said, "ye do show the Lord's death till He come." By taking the cup and the bread today, we're demonstrating our faith. And we're to do this looking forward to His return. This is what He says. He goes on to say, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And He says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or many have died." Why? Because they didn't do it in a way of reverence. That's what Paul was writing to those in Corinth about. It was a worldly church. They were saved, but they were not walking with the Lord like they should. They took the bread and they took the cup, and they didn't do it in a state of reverence to God. By the way, this cup and this bread is not to be for the unbeliever. It's for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to be done in a way that brings dishonor to the Lord, but to honor Him. That's why He said we're to examine ourselves. Let us examine ourselves. Look into our hearts today. If there's sin in our heart today, we need to confess that sin before we take this cup and this bread. Only you can do that. God knows what's in each and every heart that's here, but we need to examine ourselves as a believer. We're saved eternally through faith in Jesus Christ, but we're still sinners. How does that work? Well, positionally, we're eternal secure in Christ. We've been adopted. I said that. But practicing and being practical, we sin in this world in which we live. But we shouldn't let that sin continue to remain. He said, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse all unrighteousness. So we need to confess our sins. That's what He said. Examine ourselves. For if we would judge ourselves in verse 31, we should not be judged. He's saying, you look into your heart and see what's there. Not someone else lie into your heart and judge yourself. That we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with this world or with the world. Wherefore, brethren... Well, my brethren, he says, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together under condemnation. In other words, we're coming to the Lord's house to have this service today with fellow believers. And he says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. We've heard the word of God. We heard the truth today. We're to do the Word of God. We are to look into His Word. Let me encourage you as we begin a new year. I don't know where you are with your Bible reading. It would be a good practice to read God's Word every day. Take that challenge. I challenge you. I'm going to read some of God's Word every day. I'm going to take that Word into my heart. And let's take that another step as we go into the new year. Let's practice it. Let's do what the psalmist said. Let's show what we hear for the glory and honor of the Lord. Let us pray and then we'll go into the communion service. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today for your precious word. I pray for these, my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that as we look into a new year, Lord, help us to go into this year with clean hands and a clean heart as we confess our sins before you. As we come before the table today, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, if there be one here today that has never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they would take in the words that have been spoken. And Lord, that they would respond to the free gift of eternal life by receiving Christ, taking Him to be their Savior. And then following through, Lord, in believers' baptism and going forward in steps of faith. And Lord, we give this time of the service over to you for your honor and for your glory. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.